Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithlessness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Amen.
We'll say what we're going to do this morning is look at that in different chunks, and we'll sing in the midst as well. So if you do need at any point to go out to the creche, it is through the brown doors at the back, so do make your way there. Well, we've got to New Year's Eve. We are nearly at the end of 2017. I think certain of us will be at least on our televisions watching things like that happen after midnight, fireworks going off. I wonder how you feel about that. I wonder how you feel about the start of 2018. I don't know about you, whenever I hear the bongs and see the fireworks, there's always a degree of nervousness. What will 2018 hold? I guess we don't know, do we? Got absolutely no idea. Will it be a year, come a year's time, we look back on and it's been great? Will it be a year of challenges? We no idea how life will change for better or for worse. And so that's why, as we start 2018, as well as having Big Ben bonging in our ears, I want us to have the word of God ringing in our ears. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different parts of Isaiah, and we've seen various prophecies of the Lord Jesus. But actually, the background to that has been pretty bleak. So in chapter 1, we saw how God's people had wandered away from him, and there was warning of judgment to come. In chapter 7, we saw a great promise, Emmanuel, God with us, a child will be born. But again, that was against the background of Assyria attacking. Chapter 9, we saw this promise of light when a child is born, but before that, there would be darkness. In chapter 11, we saw how there's going to be this little shoot, but it will grow out of a stump, a sort of dead tree almost. There's always that great promise, but with the warning of judgment. And actually, in chapter 40, we meet a people who are experiencing that, a time when they're facing God's discipline for their sin. It was predicted what would happen at the end of chapter 39, verse 5. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. And I suspect what's going on is Isaiah is told in the beginning of chapter 40 to prepare words of comfort for when the people are in that position. I wonder whether you can imagine it, away from home, in a foreign land. You've been carted off there. Future uncertain. Future bleak. And in that context, God says, here's a message of comfort. It's reassurance for those whose future at that time looks uncertain. And I hope it will be a word of comfort for us this morning. Different position, but nevertheless, there are truths here that we can store away. Maybe this will be comfort for those of us who particularly need that this morning. Maybe it's words to store away for the coming year, because we don't know what 2018 will hold. And I think the temptation for all of us is, if 2018 brings tough times, the temptation is to look for comfort elsewhere. Maybe that's why sin can feel attractive, or maybe we face hard times and we just think, let's wander away from the Lord. Here are words of comfort for God's people. Words to hold on to. And there are basically four bits of comfort that we're going to look at in turn and sing a bit in between. Here's a first word of comfort for us. Your sin has been paid for. Your sin has been paid for. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she's received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. Now, I think in context, essentially what God is saying is, these people have been sent into captivity. Why? Because they've sinned. And now there's a promise, it's going to end. They're going to be able to come back. Their sin has been paid for. And yet, is it the case that throughout the Bible, sort of 70 years in Babylon is the way you pay for sin? Not really. And actually, as Isaiah goes on through this section, you discover that sin is going to be paid for not just by people being captives for 70 years. Throughout this section in Isaiah, you pick up this mysterious figure of a servant who will ultimately be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, the one who will pay for our sin. And that's the comfort that the Lord wants to bring to his people, that he commissions Isaiah to pass on in advance. Your sin has been paid for. No longer on their account. They're free. I don't know whether you know this. You probably do from our experience. It is really hard to feel comforted at the same time as feeling guilty. Have you noticed that? Actually, when you feel guilty, when there's a sense of I've failed, I've not loved other people as I should, the sense of God's hand heavy on us, when that's the case, it's hard to go into a new year feeling confident and optimistic and positive. I want us to know this morning, because Jesus hung on a cross, your sin has been paid for. Sorry, it's my only prop this morning. Here's my diary. To be honest, I'm not a brilliant diary keeper, so it's fairly sporadic, if I'm honest. Somebody actually bought this for me because they thought I might have something sensible to write down. There are a few entries for 2017. Can I be honest? Those who know me well know I love political diaries, which basically record people's successes. There aren't many successes in here. I don't know, as I look back on the past year, I can think of all kinds of ways I've fallen short. All kinds of ways I've not been the Christian I should be, the pastor I should be. And yet I've put a sticky note on the front. It's paid for. Whatever the sins of 2017, they're included in the sins Jesus died for. Your sins have been paid for. You know you go into 2018 guilt-free, not because of the turn of a new year, but because Jesus' death is sufficient. Your hard labor has been paid for. Your sin is dealt with. And that's the comfort God wants to bring to his people. It gives us all sorts of reassurance as we enter the new year. Your sin has been paid for. That's why we can go into the new year feeling whole and feeling at peace. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing of the peace that the Christian knows, because our sin is paid, not in part, but the whole. Let's stand and sing together. Do grab a seat. What's the next bit of comfort that the Lord wants his people to know? And if children are following on the sheets, this is the second heading coming up. God's glory has come. God's glory has come. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these prophecies. Emmanuel, God with us. Lights coming to Galilee of the Gentiles when a child is born. The one who will be mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A shoot coming from the stump of Jesse. Life will come from the line of David that had almost died out. And then we fast forward beyond the Christmas story to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And again, Isaiah is going to tell us what is going to happen. Verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then listen to Matthew's gospel. Matthew is actually the gospel that seems to pick up the links with Isaiah most closely. And you find this in Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. That is straight out of Isaiah, and the voice that's speaking is John the Baptist. The image is this. The image is of a kind of dignitary arriving in town. Funny, we can imagine a sort of great dignitary arriving and they're on the journey into town. But the problem is the route into town goes all the way through the desert. And not just through the desert, but up hills and down into valleys and over sort of various rugged bits and pieces. And so some work is required. Some work is required to prepare a way in for the dignitary to come. These are ancient roadworks, if I can put it like that. Well, that's the image. And John the Baptist is saying, actually, when he comes, he's the one doing that supreme work. It was sort of true a bit in Isaiah's day. God was coming to take his people back home out of exile. But supremely, it happens when John the Baptist comes and says, I'm preparing a way, I'm doing the ancient roadworks, if you like. And who is this visiting dignitary? Well, Isaiah 40 says it, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Comfort, my people. The Lord's glory is going to come. God is going to appear on the scene, and everybody will gather around to see it. And whilst that's true to a certain extent of ancient Israel coming out of Babylon, it is supremely true at the moment when the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus walks onto the pages of history. And we read it on Christmas Day. John, one of Jesus' disciples, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The magnificence of God appears on the scene. Born in Bethlehem, brings light to Galilee, dies and rises in Jerusalem. The perfect revelation of what God is like. One of the questions we've asked as we've gone through this Isaiah series, we asked it particularly on the snow morning when most of us weren't here. One of the questions we asked was this. Do our lives look more BC or AD? And what I meant by that question was this. Do we live as though Jesus hasn't come? Or do we live as though he has? And if our lives are shaped by the fact that Jesus has come and his glory has been revealed, that will comfort us. We'll want to gaze on it. We'll want to appreciate it, marvel at all the perfection that is there in the life of Jesus. You see, if we live BC, God will be vague and remote and distant. But if we live as though Isaiah's prophecy has been fulfilled, we'll say, he's come. God's glory has been revealed, and I get the privilege of gazing upon it. This is important. I suspect our degree of comfort in 2018 will be proportional to the extent to which our eyes are fixed on Jesus. You see, if Jesus just flies out of the back of our mind and he's not really centre stage, there's not a lot of comfort there. But I know for myself, the times when I'm most at peace, most knowing the Lord's comfort, is when Jesus is there. I'm gazing at him. I'm rejoicing in what I see, rejoicing in his wisdom and his love and his perfection, because he is the supreme demonstration of the glory and magnificence of God. That's the comfort for the people of God. What for Isaiah was future for us has happened. We've seen his glory. And it's the best sight in the world. We're going to sing of him. One of the best ways, I think, actually for us to gaze on Jesus is to sing about his perfections and his brilliance. He is the beautiful Saviour. Pick up language of Isaiah 9, actually, is the wonderful counselor. Let's stand and sing together. Now, of course, all of those promises were for the future. Sin being paid for, the glory of the Lord being revealed. It didn't happen the moment that Isaiah spoke it or wrote it down. It took a bit longer than that. But here's the third piece of comfort. God's promises stand. God's promises stand. You see, if you notice, there's a bit of a contrast going on in verse 6. A voice says, "Cry out," and I say, "What shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." I don't know what different people have sort of compared you as. I remember at one point in a Kenya trip, for some reason, I got compared to a great panda. You had to be there. But let me tell you this morning what you're like. You're like grass. I don't know whether that's the most complimentary thing anybody's ever said about you. But Isaiah says, we're like grass. Not particularly stable and solid. Gets blown around in the wind, and the wind comes and the grass is just taken away. And Isaiah says, actually, that's true in two ways. I think that's partly true of us physically. It's always the thing, isn't it? At the end of a year, you see all the sort of clips of those who've died over the past year. It always strikes me, you know, 10 years ago, they were full of life. You know, they were the figure everybody was looking to in the television. And now they're gone. It's partly that. But actually, it's something more than that, I think, in Isaiah 40. Because Isaiah says their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. I don't think he's just talking about our physical frailty. But frankly, how fallible we are in keeping our promises. You know, those things that we claim we're going to be able to do and we can't. Just maybe we haven't remembered. We haven't got the power to do it. We're not able. I don't know whether this has been true of you in 2017. It might well be true of 2018. You do know that even the best human beings will let you down. It's true, isn't it? I can think of various situations. I've got fantastic friends. I'm so thankful for my friends. But let me be honest, there are times I take to them an issue and they haven't got the foggiest idea what to say. Or I hope they're going to be able to provide great reassurance and actually they're exhausted and tired so they can't do it. Have you noticed actually, even the best human beings let us down because we're like grass. We just get blown away so easily. And if we go into 2018 simply trusting human beings supremely, well, it won't be a year of comfort necessarily. But there is a contrast. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. There is something that is rock solid. Something that doesn't wither, something that doesn't fade, something that doesn't flap around in the wind. The Word of God endures forever. That's what the people in Isaiah's day needed to know. These great promises of God's glory being revealed, that was a rock solid promise. It would happen. And we know that it did. Humans will die, humans will break their promises, but God's word remains. It endures. I have absolutely no idea what will happen in 2018. I can't make you many promises. I can't promise what our health will be like in 2018. I can't promise what will happen in the church in 2018. I can't promise what our leaders, whether in this country or other countries, will do in 2018. I don't know whether we'll get to the end of the year being thankful or being sad. I don't know what's going to happen in 2018. There's only one thing I know. God's promises will endure in 2018. I wonder what the promise means most to you. Children can write one of the promises that they know that God makes on their sheets. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That'll be true in 2018. No one will ever snatch you out of my Father's hand. That'll be true in 2018. Do you see? So many uncertainties. This much is rock solid. The word of our Lord will endure forever. And that's why Christians uniquely can go into a new year with a sense of comfort. Because our sin is paid for. Because we can continue to gaze on the glory of the Lord. And because God will keep his promises. Well, there's one more section to look at. We're going to sing again. Sorry, I know I'm getting you up and down, but hey, you've got exercise you need to do after Christmas. Do have a seat. Last bit I want us to look at. Last bit of comfort. He is the shepherd king. The last few verses of this section, verses 9 to 11. In many ways, they're quite similar to verses 3 to 5. Verses 3 to 5, we have this sort of roadwork stuff. The Lord's glory is going to come. And then in verse 9, we have a bit of mountaineering going on. As the people climb or up to the mountains and announce to Jerusalem, he's coming. Here is your God. But what we get particularly in verses 10 to 11, which we don't get in the first section, is what's he going to do? Yeah, when the Lord comes, what's he going to do? Verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Here is the powerful king coming to reward his people. And what's he going to do? Verse 11. And actually, the children can draw this on your sheets. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He's going to come to be the king who is a shepherd. It's actually some of the most tender images here in the Bible. He gathers the lambs in his arms. I wonder whether you can imagine that or even draw that picture for your child. You know, here is the Lord seeing those who are young and weak and vulnerable, and he scoops them up and carries them and leads them. That's the image of what the Lord is going to do. He carries them close to his heart. I wonder whether that's an image for those who need comfort this morning. He is the Lord who is the shepherd, who carries us at our most vulnerable moments. I wonder, does your God do that? Because the real one does. I wonder whether we need that image of being carried and led by the Lord. You see, when he comes, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He comes as the king who rules over sickness and death and evil, and comes as the good shepherd. And it happens when he comes again. As you work your way through Isaiah, what you discover is that Jesus' first coming and second coming, it's all slightly merged together, to be honest. And at one level, the message to us this morning is God has come. At another level, the message is, like in Isaiah's day, he is coming. And he's coming to be the shepherd king. He's going to come in power, and he's going to bring his rewards with him. You know, for some of us, being a Christian hasn't been easy in 2017. I know for some, being a Christian in 2017 has meant being cut off from their families. I know for some in 2017, being a Christian has meant being very isolated within their families. I know for some, it's meant feeling very different at school. For some, it's meant battling private temptations that are painful. But here's the thing. He's coming. And he brings his rewards with him. The word of God, which endures forever, says he's coming and he's bringing his reward. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the comfort as perhaps we face more sacrifice in 2018. He's coming to bring his reward with him. And on that day when he comes, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He'll be the shepherd king all over again. He'll reward his people. Does that give you enough comfort to go into 2018 with? Sins of 2017 and even the previous years, they're all paid for. No longer need to take guilt with us into the new year. Jesus has come. His glory has been revealed. Something to gaze at and adore and delight in 2018. His promises will endure. He won't leave you in 2018. And it'll be the same as he always has been. The shepherd king carrying, leading until that day when we see him, and he'll be the shepherd king all over again. You do realise the Christian has got the most reasons to be positive going into the new year if what we allow into our minds is the word of the Lord, bringing comfort to our hearts. So can I say, go into 2018 not just with Big Ben ringing in your ears, but the comforting words of the Lord. Happy New Year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who brings comforting words even to a people who had failed you. Lord, we're a people who have failed, who do fail you, and yet we praise you for these words of comfort. Lord, help us to believe them, we pray. Help us to have them carrying us into the new year, as it were. Thank you so much that our sin is paid for. Without that, we're lost. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your glory, for your wisdom, your love. Thank you that gazing on you satisfies our hearts. Thank you that your coming was a reminder that promises are always kept. Father, thank you that your word endures forever and will endure into a new year. And we thank you so much that the blessings we receive now are just a partial picture of that day, Lord Jesus, when we'll see you face to face and you will be our shepherd king. So, Lord, we pray in all the ups and downs of the year ahead, may your words of comfort ring in our ears, we pray, for your name's sake. Amen. We're gonna